bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Good morning, buenos dias, good afternoon, good evening, hello, welcome, aloha. I can't think of any more on the spot, but if I were, I can think of some that say goodbye. I can't think of any more that say hello. Hello, welcome into this week's edition or rendition, whatever you want to call it, episode of the Trent Speaks podcast. Hey, a couple things I want to touch on. Correction from last week. Last week I mentioned that this has been going on for 6 months. And that is what I get for trying to do math on the top of my head. If you count on your hand, though, from February, March, April, May, June, July, August would be the 6 month. Last week, obviously, was not August yet. But holy cow, August 2nd, we'll be in about 2 weeks at the 6 month mark. But August 2nd already, man. I said this earlier in about April, May, but the year is just flying by. I don't know if you feel it too or what it is. I really do think it's getting older and working, and that just lends to the year flying by. Follow up as well. I mentioned last week, I believe it was, that I had written a number of letters to businesses and celebrities, some national businesses, some local businesses. I did receive an email from one of the local breweries here in town stating that they received my letter. Unfortunately, they all work overtime, so they don't really get time for any fun stuff. So unfortunately, they had to decline. But you know what? I was thinking about it, and I said to even my wife, I'm very happy that they even took the time to email me back, because that's the thing, is I know with a lot of these, I'm probably not going to hear back. And so I would rather hear a no than nothing at all. And that's just like I had to send an email to at least one company. Come on, people. Don't just ignore my email. I know you receive my email. If you're not interested, email me back and tell me that. Don't just delete my email and say, oh, well. So actually, I might bug them and I might email them again and say, hey, I'm following up because I never heard from the first email. Please email me your response either way. Silly. Hey, as promised last week as well, earlier this week I put on the Facebook page and the Instagram. Find Trent Speaks on Facebook, find Trent Speaks on Instagram. I put up the giveaway. I did put that up on Tuesday, so I was a day late, and only one person has entered so far. Hey, no problem for me, because that one person right now, for them, has a 100% chance of winning. But if you would like a Trent Speaks t-shirt or anything like that, please. Well, I don't even care if you don't want the t-shirt. Please enter the giveaway. Tag some friends, share the post. Let's promote the heck out of this page and the heck out of Trent Speaks. I love Trent Speaks. I don't know how you feel about it, but I am also very biased. So before we head into the guests for this week, some things that I wanted to quick talk about were that when I was talking to my guest and she was preparing and we were kind of talking pre-recording, she had asked, so what is the purpose of the podcast? So I know. And what is your audience? Well, that was a great question. Obviously, it was very easy for me to answer what is the purpose of the podcast. Simple. Sharing the stories of others. answering the who is your audience was a much bigger question and one I really could not answer. See, it started out as family and friends, and then I went on Stu McAllister's Elemental podcast, found on SoundCloud and a couple other things. Went on there, did some promotion. Went on the Eric Zane Show Sudden Death podcast, found on WBBL 107.3 out of Grand Rapids. You can find that on the WBBL app, stream that, or at iHeartRadio. On that app, from, gosh, I didn't 6 a.m. until 9 a.m., that's Eastern time. So if you're like me, that would be 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central time. So I did some promotion on there, and you're like, okay, Trent, why are you promoting these people? Why do we care? Well, that would be because I have people that I'm looking at my SoundCloud analytics, and I have no idea who you are. So like I said earlier, it had been very easy for me to say, oh, yep, okay, I know it's family and friends because I can tell just from looking at analytics of where people are listening to, of I could almost sometimes match it up and say, oh, okay, I know this person's listening out of this city, and I know that person is from that city. However, I can't do that anymore. And I'm looking at you, Lakewood, California. I don't know who you are, but you listened 21 times this past week. I think you probably listened to all the podcasts. And I'm looking at you, Springfield, Ohio, and Washington, D.C., and Gadsden, Alabama, Colchester, Vermont, Menlo Park, California, Maryville, Tennessee, Providence, Rhode Island, Monmouth Junction, New Jersey. Who are you people? Who are you? Message me, because I'm curious. You might be people I want to have on the podcast. Shoot me an email, trentspeaks@gmail.com, or shoot me a message on the Facebook page, or comment on the SoundCloud video that you're listening to. Don't forget, I can also be found on Apple Podcasts. Apparently, these people don't call it iTunes anymore. I was listening to a couple podcasts this week, and they call it Apple Podcasts now. Fancy. Just curious who these people are. I don't know, and I want to know. Because I'm curious. Maybe you have a great story to share. By maybe, I mean I know that you do. All right. Once I get rambling, I know we gotta just jump into it. So here's this week's guest, Jonna. Where's my mouse? Can't stop. All right, here's this week's guest, Jonna. Jonna, so I guess let's just start by how we even know each other at first. So I started at Ferris State in Michigan as an admissions recruiter, and you were working there. So how I feel like admissions is one of those professions that you just kind of stumble upon sometimes. How did you get into admissions?
Actually, I always loved education, and I went back to college as an adult. My girls were, I want to say maybe 4 and 6 when I went back to college. Maybe not even that old yet. But anyway, I went back to college, and my intention was to become a school teacher. I wanted to teach high school. And I went all the way through all my college years, and I got right up to the end, and it was the semester before I was to student teach, and I had my own classroom, and I got a long-term substitute teaching job because somebody went on maternity leave, so it was finally like my own. I was literally in the teaching role. I wasn't just a substitute teacher. It was my lesson plans. It was my classroom. It was my, you know, everything, and I discovered I didn't want to be a teacher.
Perfect timing.
And it actually kind of was. And everybody tried to, I said, I don't want to do my student teaching. There's no point. This is not what I want to do. I loved the students. I absolutely loved being around students. I loved everything that had to do with that kind of energy and working with that age group. But it just, there's a lot of, political atmosphere to schools that you just can't even imagine. And I just didn't want to deal with any of that. And so I decided not to do my student teaching, and everybody had a fit and said, you can't do that. You've got to do your student teaching. And I said, why? I will never teach. I guarantee it. And so I didn't. And I ended up with a English and history degree. And of course, everybody said, well, what are you going to do with that? And they were kind of right. What was I going to do with that? So I ended up, I got a job working for a technical institute doing recruiting for them. And I found out that I absolutely loved the recruiting. I wasn't really into that technical institute, but I loved the recruiting aspect of it. And from there, I found the job working for Ferris. And from the day I stepped on Ferris's campus, it was just, it was a great match. I just absolutely loved it. And even putting together, you know, you have to put together a, basically a presentation for part of your interview, and even putting together a presentation just felt so second nature to me. It was just so easy to talk about. And I just, I've always loved Ferris, and it was just, it was a great segue into the next part of my life.
Yeah. And you've, I feel like you, I don't know what it is, but whenever someone meets you, I feel like, because this is how I felt, you are just very outgoing. And I feel like you, you love speaking. Have you always been like that, where you love speaking and being in front of people?
Oh gosh. Yes. You know that, have you ever seen that meme that's going around on Facebook that it shows a little kid wearing a shirt and it says, teacher, it doesn't matter where you move me, I will talk anyway.
That yeah, yeah.
I was a kid. It didn't matter where you put me in the classroom. I always had someone to talk to, or somebody, you know, I was always talking to everybody in the store, and my mom would be like, shut up, stay in the car, you know? And yeah, I just, I love people. I always feel like everybody has a story to tell, and I always want to hear what it is. And in fact, after Ferris, I, for a little while there, I did a blog where I was interviewing people that rode motorcycles, and I interviewed people all over the country, and that was just a lot of fun, and their stories that came out was just spectacular. And it was just really, I mean, met some great people through it that I'm still Facebook friends with. I just unfortunately didn't have time to keep the blog up, but I just, yeah, I've always loved talking to people. And
so I guess what is something that was memorable for you in your time at Ferris? Because I'm sure you interacted with, to be quite honest, thousands upon thousands of students in the time that you were there. Was there a memorable interaction, or what is it that kind of drove you and that kept you kind of going in that job?
You know, gosh, there were so many. I remember one time when I was on Long Island doing a college fair, and I had a family come up, and we were just talking about their son and his goals and coming to Ferris. And, you know, it was all very centered around the son. We never really got into anything personal, just talking about his educational goals. And at the time, we had these foam bulldogs, squishy bulldogs that we were giving away. And the mom was kind of picking it up and looking at it. And I don't know why, I just felt like she should have it. And I said, go ahead and take that. And she looked at me and she almost got tears in her eyes. And she said, are you serious? And I said, yeah, go ahead. And she says, oh my gosh, this reminds me so much of our dog. I can't remember his name now, but she's our dog. And she says, we had a bulldog and he just passed away about a week ago. And I was like, oh, well, but then you really need to take that. You know? And so that was, it was just always nice. It seemed like there was always people like that that you were running into where, you know, it never was just recruiting, like, buy my college, come to my place. It was, it was stories, and it was people, and it was real life, and it was goals. And I was always, if I was talking to someone and I didn't feel like they were a good fit, I'd probably tell them that. I'm probably not the best salesman, because I'd be like, well, you know, I don't know if this is a great fit for you, but have you looked at RIT? They have, you know, I just always had a very great connection with all the people that we ran into. And in fact, it was funny because just, my gosh, just a year or so ago, my husband and I were sitting in a Chili's, and we were sitting up at the bar portion, and it's a U-shaped bar. So, you know, you can see everybody that's sitting there, and I'm looking across and I'm looking at these two people, and I said, how do I know them? And this was just outside of Philadelphia. And he says, I don't know. And I said, well, you don't know him? And he said, no. And I hadn't lived out here very long at that time. And I thought, well, if you don't know him, there's no way I know him. But I just kept looking at him, and they looked so familiar. And all of a sudden, it came to me in a flash. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, I know them because I spoke to them at the Philadelphia College Fair, and I said their son would have just graduated this last spring. He's going into pre-pharmacy, and he also wants to play basketball. And I mean, I knew everything about him. And
my husband was just my looking at me going,
"Are you serious right now?"
Oh my gosh. Sometimes when I do these interviews, I wish people could see me on the other end, because my jaw just dropped and my mouth was wide open the entire time you were just saying that. That's insane.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. He says, "Well, do you want to go talk to him?" And I said, "I'm pretty sure they don't remember me at this point, but I know everything about them."
And, you know, I just talked about last week, too, how it's such a small world. And that's the kind of stuff that makes you realize how small of a world it is. The fact that it had probably been a couple of years since you had even interacted with these people, and the fact that they're sitting in a bar across from you is crazy to me.
Oh yeah, I get stuff like that all the time. In fact, when I was recruiting out in Buffalo, New York. Of course, when you go to Buffalo, you've always got to stop at the Anchor Bar, home of the Buffalo Wing. That's where it came to existence. So, I happened to have finished up my college fair for the day, and I was sitting in the Anchor Bar enjoying my wings. And there was a family down at the end, and the Anchor Bar is right next to a hospital. And the family down at the end, it was a dad, a son, and the dad's sister. And their mother or grandma was in the hospital, and so they had been in there visiting her. And they were carrying on, they were having a good time, just, you know, as families do when they get together. And I kind of got sucked up into their joy, and we all started just having a fun time together and talking to each other. And it was funny because when I got back to the office, I had given them my card, but it didn't have my cell phone number on it. And when I got back to the office about 2 weeks later in Michigan, I had a voicemail on my phone, and it was this dad and the son and the dad's sister. And they were like screaming into my phone, and they were like, "We had so much fun. We love Ferris." But what was even funnier than that is almost a year later, my husband and I went back into the Anchor Bar. We happened to be in Buffalo, and I hadn't been in there since then. And we were sitting down and talking, and the bartender come up to me and he says, "Hey," he says, "you've been in here before." And I said, "Yeah, but it's about a year ago I was in here for the first time." And he says, "Yeah." And then he points and he says, "You sat over there." And I said,
"Oh my gosh."
I couldn't believe it. And he said, "Yeah." He says, "And you were talking to those one people, their mom was in the hospital or something." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh yeah." He goes, "You were a lot of fun." And I was like, "Well, thank you."
But well, you are a very memorable person, Jonna.
I guess so.
You mentioned this earlier about motorcycles, and knowing you, I know that you have a love for motorcycles and even a love for horses as well. Kind of talk to me about how your love for each of those, obviously they're two very different things, but how your love for each of those came up. I know that you are still very active in riding your motorcycle and utilizing your motorcycle and everything like that still too, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Well, when I was a little kid, my brother got a dirt bike, and I was so jealous. I wanted that dirt bike. I didn't understand why he got a dirt bike and I didn't, you know, and I think I got the girly equivalent version of something like that. I think I got like a, you know, pink bike with flowers on it or something. I can't remember, but you know, I wanted a dirt bike. And so I rode his dirt bike whenever I could. It was a little Suzuki 80. And I don't know, I guess it just stuck with me. And even after I had graduated from high school, I had moved into Duluth, Minnesota for a little bit. And I made friends with a bunch of people that rode motorcycles. There's a very big motorcycle culture in Duluth, Minnesota. And, just got around them and ended up riding motorcycle up there, always on the back. And then when I met my ex-husband, he was also into motorcycles and had a lot of friends that rode. And so we rode all over the place. And I kept saying, I need my own motorcycle. I want my own motorcycle, to the point where I was about ready to just go buy one on my own. And then finally for Mother's Day one year, he got me a little motorcycle, a little Yamaha V-Star 250, but you know, it was the best starter bike. And in fact, I still have it. I'm holding on to it because my youngest wants to have it when she turns 16. So I still have that bike for her, but it was just the perfect little bike to get started on. And then about 2.5 years ago, my husband that I'm married to now, he bought me a Sportster, which was quite a jump up. It's a 1200 cc engine, and oh god, I love that bike, and I'm in the process of customizing it. I have a Johnny Cash cover on one side, and then on the other side I had it custom painted to look like the Johnny Cash single from Folsom Prison Blues. It looks like just like the 45 record single that came out from Sun Records. So, and then I'm going to have Johnny Cash lyrics painted down the tank. So I'm very into my motorcycle. I love it very much. And my husband has a motorcycle collection. So we are both very into motorcycles and we ride a lot. And it actually works out in my photography because I do boudoir photography. And a lot of the women have always had this fantasy of getting their pictures taken with motorcycles. You know, there's just something about a motorcycle. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of bike it is when you're sitting on it. If you don't even own it, if you're just sitting on a motorcycle, you just feel a little badass. You know, can I say badass?
Yeah, you can say badass.
okay. You do. You just feel a little badass. And so a lot of women that I work with want to have their pictures taken on motorcycles, which is great because we have a motorcycle collection. My husband has collected antique motorcycles from all different kinds. He's got everything from Japanese bikes to Harleys to, you know, Indians. So we use a lot of those in the photo shoots, and the women just absolutely love it. And it's just a lot of fun. And we go to these antique swap meets and to see some of the old antique motorcycles that people are riding around. I mean, literally riding. You're talking about bikes from the 40s and 50s even that they're riding around without a hitch because they've taken such great care of them. They put so much love into them. And, you know, the motorcycle culture is just, it's a unique beast. There's the people that are into their motorcycles, I feel like, are very interesting, caring people.
So you brought it up, so I figure this is a great transition to it. And I'm just going to say photography because I can't say the B word because I can't pronounce it for some reason. It's just a Trent thing. But I feel like that's going to be a very empowering thing for women to do. I'm going to try it. Boudoir. Is that?
Yes.
To do boudoir photography.
And you're not alone in not being able to say it. I oftentimes will have people call up and they want boudoir photography or boudoir. And so, I mean, the name gets mutilated by everybody. And but it is. It's called boudoir photography. And it's the idea is it's taken from the old French kind of coy pictures that they used to take back in the Victorian ages and such. And it is an extremely empowering thing. A lot of times women come to me and they say, I want to do a photo shoot for my husband. And the general idea is that these are pictures that you'll keep privately for you and your husband to enjoy. But how it always works out is these women end up doing these photo shoots for themselves. As women, we beat ourselves up so bad all the time. I mean, I even do it myself. You will be on top of the world because, you know, like, for instance, one of the things I said it in one of my Facebook lives that I did is I was telling people a story where I had gone into a bar and I got carded. And I'm 40 years old. And I was like, I got carded. I was all excited. You know, I was thrilled. I thought, man, I must look so young. I was so excited. And then my self-esteem was, you know, just mountain high. And 2 days later, I stepped on a scale and I was the heaviest I've ever been. And my self-esteem was through the floor. And, you know, we do that as women. We find ways to beat ourselves up. So it didn't matter that 2 days ago I was on such a high. The day I stepped on the scale and I saw that I weighed, you know, a lot more than I'd ever weighed, I was like, oh, God, that's it. I'm done. You know, and we beat ourselves up all the time. And really and truly, that's what this photography is about, is it's about showing these women that, you know what? You are beautiful. You do have this coy spark in your eye. You know, I mean, and these women come in here and get their pictures taken. And when they see the final images, it is amazing. I have had women cry at their image reveals because they're like, oh my God, I can't believe that's me. I've had women tell me I've never thought of myself as beautiful before, but now I feel like I am. And it's really interesting too, because it's given me such a profound insight into how the men that love us in our lives, how they see us. Because my husband tells me all the time, oh, you're so beautiful. And I go, okay, honey, thanks, whatever. And you just, we really don't believe guys when they tell us that. We discount it. And I can't tell you how many times I have done an image reveal and I'll have a woman sit there and she sees her images and she's just like in shock and can't believe she looks that beautiful. And she turns to her husband or her boyfriend and she's like, do you see these pictures of me? And he looks at her like, yeah, but that's how I see you every day. And it's just really interesting because these women are expecting these guys to come in and gush over these pictures, but guys see us that beautiful, whether we are in sweats or whether we're in a corset. And it's interesting to me because we don't. It's almost like we need that trigger. We need something like these amazing photographs to be able to finally realize, wow, look how great I am.
Well, and it's obvious through your Facebook posts and even through talking to you right now that this is something that you're very passionate about. How did, I guess, like kind of like a two-part question here, how did this come about in the first place of starting a photography business, and then why boudoir specifically?
Well, it was really interesting because after, not long after I left Fair State University, I moved out east. My husband lives out in Pennsylvania, and I obviously moved out with him just before we got married. And I do a lot of traveling because my girls, I have one girl here in Pennsylvania with me. I've got my other girls in Michigan, and both of them are, well, one's actually graduated school already, and the other one's going to graduate in a few years. And so we just needed flexibility. And basically, what it boiled down to is I needed a job where I could be my own boss. And I've always been into writing. I've wrote for newspapers before. I've always been a writer. So that's kind of how I started off. I started off doing writing. And then the writing evolved into doing some photography. And I got picked up by Travel Pass magazine. And was doing travel photography through them and just really enjoying it, having a great time writing articles for them and taking pictures for them. And then when my husband and I got married, the photographer that we had actually did boudoir photography. And that was the first time I'd ever even heard of it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it existed. And when I found out about it, it was like a door opening for me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I can do. And it just really resonated with me. And I thought, this is incredible. This is something I can do. This is something I'm excited about. And so then I knew absolutely nothing about it. So I went and did classes at a college in Maine on photography to sharpen my skills, because obviously people are a lot different than landscapes. You need to, it's a whole nother thought process there. And so I did classes in Maine, and I did some research and found a award-winning photographer out of Delaware. And I went and did a mentorship with her. And then I took classes through the New York Institute of Photography online and just really put a lot into it. Did a lot of reading. There's a fabulous photographer named Kristen Miola. And I bought her books and I read about how she did everything. And I just put a ton of time and research into it. And then finally, on December 1st of last year, I opened up my doors and said, okay, the studio's open. And on the day I opened, I had two people book sessions that day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was excited and surprised. And then after that, it's just basically been like a snowball. The more you shoot, the more people find out about it, the more it spreads. And it's just been just this huge snowball rolling downhill, and it's been absolutely wonderful. I've had so much fun with it. I've met so many wonderful people. I'm just really excited that it's become a part of my life, and it's something I foresee me doing forever, I think. I just can't see me doing anything else, honestly.
After learning about boudoir, did you know right away this is the type of photography I want to do, or was it after all the research and stuff that you were like, okay, I think this is something that I could dabble in and give it a shot?
Oh, no, it was actually something I figured out beforehand, because when my wedding photographer, when she did boudoir photography, in fact, she's out of Michigan, and I was just like, wow, I was just blown away by it. I just was so excited about it. And so every time I did any research after that and learned more about it and dove deeper into it, it just got me more and more excited. I just could not wait to present women in this beautiful, flattering way. And it's just been so great. And especially because I'm a very creative mind anyway. And so it's so much fun to take someone and try and find new ways of expressing that beauty. And especially because there's so many different levels of boudoir photographers. People that are more like fine art nudes, people that, you know, I mean, are more portrait. And I kind of ride that line with mine. I like to keep everything very sophisticated and classy, suggestive, but not revealing. So in none of my pictures will you ever see anything that basically couldn't be out in public. And in fact, I do bridal boudoir. And at a recent bridal show that I was at, the gal that ran it came up to my booth right away. And she said, I just wanted to see what you've got on display here because, you know, we got to be careful. And she's looking at my stuff and she said, oh, wow. She said, your stuff is so classy. And I said, well, that's how I like to keep things. That's kind of how I do my pictures. And she said, oh, she said, this is beautiful. Oh, she said, you'll have no problem displaying this. This is fantastic. She said, I wanted to make sure that it was public friendly, and it really is. And that's just kind of how I try to present my images. I try to keep them, like I say, very classy, and even in my Facebook posts, I post these pictures, and every now and then you'll have somebody who maybe doesn't think before they speak, and they'll say something about one of the women like, oh, that's a great ass or something like that. Well, I delete those comments. This is not that kind of Facebook page. These are real women that are, you know, presenting themselves and hoping to inspire other women. And that's not the kind of response I'm looking for. And that's very, very rare too. Usually what we get is people are like, wow, this is so great. Or I want to do that. Or I'm so inspired. Or this is so beautiful. Or, you know, that's 99% of the time what the responses are.
You talked earlier about using motorcycles as, and I'm not sure if the prop is the right word to use here or not, but I guess what other props or backgrounds do you like to use, or have you tried to get creative with?
Well, a lot of people are, a lot of women are really interested in bathtub photos, and there's a whole sort of movement toward milk baths. I love milk baths. I think they turn out really well. There's actually a really funny story that goes with that. So if you've never seen a milk bath image, basically the water is kind of opaque. And you actually use real milk. You pour it in. You fill the tub up as much as you can with water to about the level you want. You add about a gallon of milk till you get it about the opacity that you like.
Oh.
So a lot of times you'll throw flowers and such in there to make it pretty, you know, floating flowers and things. The first time I go to do this, I thought, well, I better read up. I'm a big research person. There's generally not much I'll do in my life without researching it first. I love research.
Same way.
So I thought, yeah, I'm like, so I better read up about this. So I read all these articles, and they say you absolutely have to use real flowers, but obviously that gets extremely expensive. So they said if you're not going to use real flowers, you need to buy silk flowers, and then you need to scotch guard them. So for days, I had silk flowers spread out in my garage floor, and I was spraying them with Scotch Guard so that they wouldn't sink. Well, the day of the photo shoot comes, and luckily it was a day that I had an assistant there. I don't often have an assistant on the shoot. It's usually just me and the woman I'm photographing. But every now and then, I do have an assistant there with the permission of whoever I'm shooting if it looks like it's going to be a complicated shoot that day. And thank goodness that day I had an assistant there because the woman gets in the tub. I throw all these flowers in. It looks gorgeous. I'm adjusting the lighting. I'm getting everything else. I turn around and all the flowers are going blip, 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 blip.
Oh, my gosh.
They're all on the box. So literally what I would have to do, and because these are real women, they don't know how to pose. They're not professional models. So with each image that I'm striving to capture, I have to tell them how to pose. And so I'll put them into a position. I pose them even down to their fingertips. And so I'll completely pose them, and then I've got to make sure my lighting is getting just right so that we've got enough contrast on the jaw. I mean, there's so many things to look at. And so I would basically get everything just right, and I would tell my assistant, okay, bring up the flowers. And she would, like, swirl her arm through the tub and bring the flowers back to the top, which it ended up looking great in the pictures. But, yeah. So
live and learn. Live and learn.
Flowers will sink no matter how much you scotch guard them.
So I know you're living in Pennsylvania right now and that you sometimes travel back to Michigan. Are those the two places that you usually shoot? Like, do you shoot while you're in Michigan or only while you're in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah, I will shoot in Michigan. Absolutely. And then I shoot in Pennsylvania. And where I live just an hour outside of Philadelphia. So it's really great because I have people that'll come to me from Maryland, from Delaware, from New York. Basically, if they can drive within 3 hours, those are the kind of clients that I'll end up having come in. I do shoot in Florida as well because my husband and I are in the Keys all the time. We hope to, in the next few years, transition to being in Key West part-time at least so that we can shoot down there as well. And so I do shoots in Key West as well. Here a few months ago, I had a couple call me from Orlando and they had Googled me and they wanted to fly in and do a shoot with me. And unfortunately, we couldn't get the schedule to work out because it was such short notice and they only had a limited time they could fly up. But still, I was pretty impressed. I was like, that's right. I'm out there nationwide.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's Pennsylvania, Michigan, Florida Keys. Those are my main areas.
So if people wanted to find you, if I wanted to find you on social media and so I could schedule a shoot with you or learn more, how would I find you?
Well, if you are a female on social media, one of the best things you can do is to join my private Facebook group. It's a VIP group, and that's really great because it's open to women only. And if I have any sales, they'll go to the VIP group. Those aren't something a lot of times I'll make public. They're for the VIP members only. And it's just called Shy Vixen VIP. And that's easy to find. Or they could even email me and I'll send them a link to that. My email is info@shyvixen.com. But if you just generally want to follow the page just to see the beautiful images, you can just follow my Facebook page, which is Shy Vixen Boudoir Photography. And then I'm also on Instagram as well under Shy Vixen Boudoir Photography. I do have a very small YouTube that people are welcome to look for because every time I get done doing a session, I take the images and I put them together and set them to music. And it's just such a great way to be able to see these images one on top of the other. And so there's not too many out there, but it's still kind of fun to see. There's probably about 4 or 5 videos on my YouTube page.
John, a question I always ask, this is pretty standard for me when we're wrapping up interviews or conversations. I don't like to call them interviews. I feel like they're more conversations. One question I always ask people or always ask my guests is, what is it that you want others to take away from your story or that you want people to learn from the experiences or the things that you've had or done?
I think probably the recurring role in my life is why not? You know, I started this photography business from scratch at, 38, 39 years old, and have built it from the ground up, and it's going like crazy. I started going to college when I was probably 28 or 30. And I know people always come up with these reasons why they shouldn't do something. And I'm more like, why not? Why not go back to college? Why not start a business? Why not? You know, and my parents at the age they're at right now have lived in Michigan their entire life. And under my encouragement heavily, they've finally decided to make the move to Florida because I'm like, why not? Why not go enjoy the warmth? Why not be near the ocean? And that's just, I guess that's how I look at things. I tell my boudoir clients not to focus on the negative what ifs. Let's focus on the positive what ifs. People are often afraid to book a boudoir shoot because they're like, well, what if I don't know how to pose? What if I, you know, I'm afraid to be naked in front of the photographer? What if I, you know, why focus on those negative things? Why not focus on the positive stuff? Why not say, what if this is the best thing I've ever done for myself? What if going back to college is the best thing that I could do? What if starting a business becomes the thing that shapes my life? What, you know, why not do something that's going to make you remember that day forever?
That was very inspirational. I actually love that.
Well, thank you.
I think that's a great point though. And sometimes it's those small phrases or even just those two words, why not, that really get you thinking and get you inspired. And I couldn't agree more with what you just said, because I mean, even what you just said resonates with me too, with some of the stuff I've been thinking about. So yeah, I think that's great.
I think everybody in life always has something that they're struggling with, and it's just so much easier to have the negative outweigh the positive. And I think you do just need to say to yourself sometimes, why not? Why not just do it?
Well, it's always nice hearing it from someone else instead of you being the one to try and justify your why not, and hearing other people say it, be like, oh yeah, like it is okay for me to try this new thing, or because you never know.
Absolutely. That's just it. You don't know. And I guarantee that the only way you'll regret it is if you don't do it. You never regret something you've actually done, because then at least you know how it worked out. Maybe it didn't work out for the best, but at least you know now.
And you learn the lesson.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Perfect. I think that's a great place to end it for this week.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. This is why I love talking to people, because it really gets you thinking. You heard in the very beginning how when Jana was talking about a mission, she was talking about people's stories, and everyone has a story, and you never know. You never know what to expect or how small of a world this is. And how many times have we talked about that on the podcast? Whether it's me talking about people's stories or other people talking about how other people have stories. Or even a couple weeks ago during the Seattle podcast, most recently, I brought up how small of a world it can be. And I think the biggest thing, the thing that I've loved the most from these podcasts is that final question. What is it that you want people to take away from your story or what you've learned? And the fact that Jana said, why not? So why not challenge yourself to get out? I don't know what I'm saying right now. I challenge you. You can challenge yourself, but I also challenge you to get out and try something new. Try something that you've been thinking about. I don't care what it is that's holding you back. Just give it a try, because you never know. Hey, just real quick, next week, I'm very excited for the podcast. I'm always excited for the podcast, so I don't think you'll ever hear me say, oh, we have another podcast next week. I hope you're as excited as I am. No, I am very excited for next week. Teaser, it deals with whiskey, and that's about as much as I'll say. I'll leave it at that. Make sure you tune in, soundcloud.com, search Trent Speaks. Otherwise, you can find me on Apple Podcasts. If you're like me and you're old school, you probably still call it iTunes. I don't care what you call it. Go ahead and find me on it. Again, participate in that giveaway. The winner will be announced during next week's podcast of who won the t-shirt and maybe a couple more items. I haven't decided yet. There is an item on the way. I'll probably have to call UPS as I always do, because they never want to deliver for me. But that's a whole nother story. And so we'll see. There may be something additional than the t-shirt. So make sure you join the giveaway. Again, soundcloud.com, Apple Podcasts, you can find me on. And next week's keyword is whiskey. And so make you wait in anticipation. Have a great week, everyone.